This is People First Radio On Demand, podcasts, streaming, and MP3 downloads, available when you want to listen at chly.ca, iTunes, and at the People First Radio website.
CHLY 101.7 FM, Vancouver Island. On the web, www.chly.ca.
A new strategy on the sex trade developed by the City of Vancouver is intended to provide a comprehensive framework and action plan to address sexual exploitation and the negative effects of sex work. The strategy is considered to be part of Vancouver's Urban Health Initiative, which works to take a comprehensive approach to difficult social issues including homelessness, drug addiction, and mental illness. The PACE Society has given its tentative support to the strategy, despite some reservations about enforcement plans. PACE stands for Providing Alternatives, Counseling, and Education, and the PACE Society is a sex worker-led and driven organization that offers low-barrier programming, support, and safe respite for survival sex workers in Vancouver.
And we're joined on the phone by PACE Society board member Alexis Boyle. Welcome to People First Radio, Alexis.
Hi, Kevin. Thanks for having me.
Now, the proposed City of Vancouver Action Plan, which is called Preventing Sexual Exploitation and Protecting Vulnerable Adults and Neighborhoods Affected by Sex Work, points to high rates of child poverty, low incomes, homelessness, and unaffordable housing, along with overstressed or missing legal and social systems, leading to people becoming vulnerable to sexual exploitation. Mm-hmm. Tell us more about these dynamics.
Sure, that's a really good question. So there are many factors that can affect someone's vulnerability to sex work, and they certainly vary by individual. And there's not a single thing, but these are often interconnected. And the most often cited in research are poverty, unstable home environments, and the experience of physical and or sexual abuse. And this can lead youths, for example, to flee unsafe situations, and certainly youths who have experienced group homes, to flee unsafe homes or situations, and often finding themselves on the street and socially isolated, and having lack of financial resources can often lead to sex work as an only option. And certainly this is compounded at higher levels. So cuts to government funding, for example, to service providers, as well as problems in coordinating many of the services. And individuals have also cited that they've experienced discrimination, judgment and harassment at by service providers, which can become a barrier to accessing support and help out of their situations.
So the impact of stigma is significant as well.
Absolutely, yes, and this can occur at many levels.
Now, the proposed strategy provides what is described as a comprehensive framework and action plan to address sexual exploitation and negative effects of sex work that has been shaped by input from a diverse range of stakeholders and research sources. What is your overall assessment of the strategy and the work that was done to put it together?
That's a great question. So as our executive director has already stated in a number of interviews, very positive, so we feel it's a really good starting place. Certainly it's one that's been a long time coming. But we're glad to see it, and we're pleased that the city has consulted many of the stakeholders and frontline workers and individuals on these issues. And it appears to certainly have taken quite a complex approach to the many issues that are related to sexual exploitation and sex work. Some of these include the proper training of staff and police to respond to individuals in crisis, the provision of safe houses and spaces in the city, and certainly lobbying to government to increase awareness and funding to support services is really crucial. So overall, we're very pleased.
Was PACE then consulted, or were you part of the ongoing process leading up to the release of this document?
Yes, yes. And in fact, there is a meeting right now, actually.
I'm wondering if, you know, you could comment a little further on the blend of the local situation and the general research that has been done on sex work that you've also referred to when you're talking about the specifics that attach to this particular population.
I think they've done a pretty good job at capturing the specific populations. So, for example, Aboriginal youth groups and services were definitely consulted. There is some mention of the experiences of transgendered individuals, I believe, but certainly there are issues facing gay and lesbian and transgendered individuals for sure, and this absolutely relates to issues of youth and their vulnerability to sexual exploitation.
People First Radio is a program about people, the society in which we live, and the issues related to health and wellness. Coming to you on CHOY 101.7 FM and streaming at CHOY.ca.
The City of Vancouver is considering a strategy for dealing with and responding to sex work. The key elements in the proposed strategy include enhanced prevention and awareness, access to health and safety services, investment in social services and supports, including assistance for individuals to exit sex work, and strengthened regulatory and enforcement approaches. The strategy document acknowledges that while immediate, locally based actions can be realized through the city's leadership, there are also actions and resource needs more appropriate for senior levels of government to consider. The PACE Society is a sex worker-led and driven organization in Vancouver that offers low-barrier programming, support, and safe respite for survival sex workers in Vancouver. We're speaking with PACE Society board member Alexis Boyle.
Now, Alexis, you mentioned Carrie Porth and her comments earlier about this particular proposed strategy. Carrie is the executive director at PACE, and she told the TIE that, and I'm quoting her, sex work issues in the city are nuanced and complex, mm-hmm. and so the solutions have to be nuanced and complex as well. This is an excellent starting place. Now, she did express concerns about increased enforcement directed at clients of the sex trade. Tell us more about that.
Yeah, sure. So this is a bit of a concern for us, specifically because increased enforcement doesn't necessarily mean that clients will stop seeking sex. The implication that this has specifically for sex workers is that what happens is the transaction gets driven into a more clandestine place, which opens up a more harmful or unsafe space for the sex worker. So these enforcements can actually lead to situations of increased harm for the sex worker themselves.
Now, Pay Society has another concern, and that's related to the suggestion of cracking down on brothels and massage parlors. What are the implications of that? What are the concerns?
Certainly, and this is something that, along with the previous one, we'll be watching. Massage parlors and brothels, so indoor locations, can actually often be safer than working on the street. So the issue here is that if an inspector wrongly identifies a parlor as trafficking women, for example, this could mean disruption not only to income, but potential criminal charges, and like I said earlier, this can drive the transaction onto the street, which is often a less safe location.
The City of Vancouver plan states that, and I'm quoting from the plan, comprehensive approaches involving a diverse range of stakeholders are identified as a best practice in addressing the issues related to sex work. And what I'm wondering, Alexis, is this process comprehensive enough? Has it been comprehensive enough? And what's missing?
So I would reiterate that we think it's definitely a great starting place, and it's definitely better than some of the previous strategies put forth by the city. And I would certainly emphasize that it is multifaceted. However, we can only hope that in the implementation of each strategy, that it serves the necessary needs of specific populations. So, the specific needs of Aboriginal youth and peoples, men and women face different and specific issues in relation to sex work, as do transgendered individuals, and also those facing mental health and addiction issues. So we hope that each strategy is carried out with the specific needs of individuals in mind, and also that they're implemented by people with the proper training.
Can you tell us a little bit more about the PACE Society itself and the work that you do in the community?
Absolutely. So PACE, as you've already mentioned, is a sex worker and led organisation. And we support survival sex workers in particular, so people working on the street who, due to poverty, mental health, addiction issues, unsafe housing, for example, really have very few options. And we provide different kinds of programming, so on self-esteem, safety workshops, for example. We have a support worker who does one-on-one counselling that can help individuals, empower individuals as well to address their own specific needs and goals. So we provide support and also information at varying levels. And the success of our organisation is certainly proven by the increase in our membership from 2009 to now, from 55 to 177 members.
What are some of the what are the key misunderstandings that are held by general members of the public when it comes to sex work and people involved in sex work, particularly survival sex work?
Well, I think you know, sex work reactions and responses to it are certainly driven by really moral sort of attitudes, and it's not necessarily a choice for everyone. I mean, sex work, you know, encompasses many different kinds and varying levels of choice, but, you know, it's commonly misunderstood the particular constraints that many people live their lives within, and issues of mental health, poverty, abuse, addiction, you know, is certainly not simply the fault of someone's weak constitution, but very difficult things to surmount.
What's next for this proposed plan that has come from the City of Vancouver? You mentioned a meeting. I think that's happening today.
Yes, that's correct.
And do you anticipate that the city will adopt this strategy?
I'm not entirely sure. I don't know that I can speak directly to that, but I can say that it is our hope that they certainly will, and that they will take into consideration the expertise and feedback of organizations like PACE. They're on the front lines.
Alexis, we have just a moment left in our conversation today. Is there anything else that you'd like to add?
Sure. I would certainly direct anyone listening and interested to go to PACE's website, which is www.pace-org. Pace-society.org. And there you can find more information about us, including our newsletters, and an option to donate if anyone is interested in supporting the organization further.
Alexis Boyle, thank you very much for taking the time to join us today. We really appreciated that.
Great. Thanks so much, Kevin.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Alexis Boyle is a board member with the PACE Society. Alexis is an independent researcher and educator whose work and interests focus on women, health, and social justice. Her graduate work has contributed to the understanding of social, cultural, and historical constructions of gendered bodies in relation to health, citizenship, and power in North America. PACE stands for Providing Alternatives, Counseling, and Education. You can find PACE online at pace-society.org.
This is a People First Radio podcast. People First Radio is an initiative of Columbian Center Society in partnership with the Radio Malaspina Society and produced at CHLY Community Radio in Nanaimo, British Columbia. The opinions expressed in this interview do not necessarily reflect the opinions of the partnering organizations. Visit us online. Just Google People First Radio to find our webpage.